of you as well. Brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. In fact, as soon as I got into this holy place, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I was completely impressed because of the sheer number of young men. Just your number with the iman of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be enough to solve all our problems in this world. And I say it with complete conviction, if we really know the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the curriculum of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, the religion of Islam was built basically on the shoulder of youth. When I talk youth, I'm talking about teenagers. Teenagers. The oldest of them, 17 years old. And we mention some of these, inshallah, in the few minutes that's left tonight, inshallah. But it is the hope of the Muslim Ummah that the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in you. So don't ever belittle yourself. Each one of you can spread Islam in this country, as the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. This one is sliding down. The other one can come on top of it, inshallah. So when we talk about the influence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the youth, the school of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever you hear the name of Muhammad, even if someone is calling someone Muhammad, that remind you with the name of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you should say alayhi salatu wasalam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha was asked about what is the character of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha, the mother of the believers, is to say kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an. His character was Al-Qur'an. And indeed he passed this kind of character, behavior, to all the companions of his sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was kind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Qur'an, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضَّ مَغَضِيضَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. If you were rough and rude, they would have left you alone, sparse from around you. So sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that very few years that he lived, he brought up in the school of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam those companions. He built the man in the first 2 years of Medina after the Hijrah. He built the man first. Then after that, if he tell the man, go and fight all this army, he will go without any hesitance. So it is our hope. We, our generation, is going to pass by you very fast. We're going to go in a year or two or three. All of us, of course, are going to die. But you are the hope in Canada. The youth. What is the definition of a youth? The youth is the strongest stage between two weakness ones. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Ar-Rum, Allah khalaqakum min ايه? Min ضعف. ثم جعل من بعد ضعف قوة. ثم جعل من بعد قوة ضعفا وشيبة يخلق ما يشاء وهو العليم القدير. صلى على رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام. صلوا على رسول الله. Or it'll keep you awake with this, by wetting your mouth with the remembering the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Always remember this. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you don't, Satan is right on top of your head, hovering there. وَمَنْ يَعْشُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَنِ نُقَيِّدْ لَهُ شَيْطَانًا فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِينٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this in the Quran. Our dear youth brother here, whom I wanted to listen to him till the end of the night, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him, bless his family, and increase his alike, inshallah. He gave us beautiful words of wisdom. Because I hear that some Muslim sisters, some sisters, are not wearing hijab, they don't afraid to come to the masjid because of what happened. No. This is a test. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the only book, all the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that revealed to mankind along the history of man, from Adam until the advent of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Quran, the only book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guaranteed from oblivion. Right? The only book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَإِيهِ لَحَافِظُونَ. We have revealed this reminder, this ayat, the signs. And for it, we'll protect it. We, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have a guarantee. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees us this day enjoying life, watching a lot of TV, playing a lot of these little things, Nintendo. We're sitting in front of the television 3-4 hours, and when the imam takes 5 minutes to pray the Isha, he's too long. I'm not going to go to him. He's staying too long. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees that our hearts are decaying, and we are sitting in one and making this very hot. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to shake us up, and his hikmah to do something like that. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْءٍ وَيَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you may dislike something, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put a lot of good in it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to stir up for a wisdom that only He knows. But it's our own limited knowledge that we say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needs things like that to stir up things. People start buying Quran, ask about Islam, this kind of terror religion that they look at each one of us, as soon as they hear the name of a Muslim, it conjured up in their mind a vicious looking person with weary eyes and long beards and blood is dripping from his finger. And I just gave a khutbah yesterday about, because as soon as we got, it was not the khutbah planned, when I got into the Masjid Jami' Mosque yesterday at Jum'ah, they told me there are two nuns here, nuns to be. And what they did, they want to, part of their program is to have wudu, ghusl, and wear the hijab also, and they pray with us. They want to check on our religion. This is part of their curriculum. So I took the chance really to give it to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped me in this. And I talk about nasib, but is Islam religion of peace and justice as we claim it to be? And well done this, alhamdulillah. But this is, you don't blame these people of attacking us. Blame ourselves. We are attacking our own selves. We're not even united amongst ourselves. Even in this masjid, we find brothers that abhor others and will put down others and so on and so forth. But the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed in the glorious Quran, said, Muhammad, Rasulullah, وَالَّذِينَ مَعْهُ, and those who are with him, أَشِدَّاءُ, unto who? They are severe and stern. Against who? Kuffar. رحماء بينهم. They are compassionate among themselves. Are we compassionate among ourselves? Are we united? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to go back to our deen, want to bring more people to Islam, because He preserved this religion. He's going to keep it with you or without you. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guaranteed this in the glorious Quran. So things that like this has happened, so the people start to question among Islam. During the Gulf War, when I was in Burlington at the time, then people came and they want to know about Islam. Two people, a couple, a boy and actually a bigger youth and his girlfriend at the time, they come, they want to be Muslims. And my question was to them, why at this time, the time where everybody's attacking Muslims, why would you know about Islam? You see? See, we do not know. That they do not know, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this. When one of the Japanese guys there started beautifying, make the Quran so beautiful and all the decorations around it and stuff like that. Why are you doing this? He said, no, no. Just an inspiration that's coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It can come on any at the hands of anybody, a Muslim or non-Muslims. The man who put the whole Quran in one sheet, you might have one of those, was German. Was not Muslim. Was not an Arab. Was not anything. Just, why do you do that? I don't know. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we do these things here to bring people to Islam. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to look at ourselves. Blame nobody but ourselves. As I said, and I was sincere when I said that if all of you were the youth, because you have certain characteristics that nobody else has but you youth. And I was one of you before. So if you find at the ideologies of the past, you find that they start building up on the shoulders of the youth. Because the youth has the strength, the zeal, perseverance, the energy to do things, to change the world. When I'm talking about those teenagers, remember, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, Mu'ad ibn Jabal, Khabab ibn al-Arat, Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhum jami'an, Anas ibn Malik, Zayd ibn Haritha, Zayd ibn Thabit. They were teenagers, all of these. Let alone the Khulafa and Sayyidina Umar, the oldest of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was who? Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. He was 2 years younger than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he was 38 years old. 10 years is younger than him, who was Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab. Was 10 years younger than Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. He was 28 years old. Same was as Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. You see, every ummah of the world, they talk and they are proud of their people of the past. Okay? They mention one or two. But if any ummah in the world that deserves to talk about its people, that will be the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because it is easy in the desert to spot a flower. But when you get into a garden that's full of flowers and roses, which one you pick? Wonder, which one you pick? Which one of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were going to pick? Each one of them, each one of them is worthy all humanity since Adam until the day of judgment, except the prophets and the messengers. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تسبوا أصحابي فوالذي نفسي بيده لو أنفق أحدكم عمل أحدهم أو نصيفة أو كما قال الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. صلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم do not ever mention my companions in any kind of demeaning way or insults. سبة means insult. Because if any one of you give in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as the mountain of Uhud of gold, he will never come close to any one of the companions of mine or even half. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You see? Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and he was one of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he himself said, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and he was one of them, he was talking about the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That Sahabat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كانوا أبر هذه الأمة قلوبا وأعمقها علما. That the most deep and great hearts in this ummah were the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The most deep in knowledge, the best character. فَحْفَظُوا لَهُمْ فَضْلَهُمْ, and remember to them their virtues and the grace unto the Muslim ummah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here, Sayyidina Abdullah al-Mas'ud, and he was one of them, was saying about the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned before in the glorious Quran when he tells us that Muhammad Rasulullah وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ, and those who are with him, أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ, they are severe, stern, when it comes to the kafir, the unbelievers, but they are compassionate amongst themselves. تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّعًا سُجَّدًا يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا. You see them prostrating, kneeling and prostrating. They seek only the bounties, the mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His forgiveness. سِمَاهُمْ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ مِّنْ أَثَرِ السُّجُودِ. You find the traces, there is marks on their faces, the traces of prostration, that is during their prayers. ذلك مثلهم في التوراة ومثلهم في الإنجيل. This is their similitude or their parable in the Torah and in the Gospels. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes some of their character, and then at the end they say, وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات منهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised them doing those who did believed in Allah and did righteous deed a great reward. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam created that youth. So as we said that the youth, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described in the Quran, between two weaknesses. And this is the most strong and important period of your whole life. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told that as soon as you put your foot in the other world, that you died, and get into the grave, you are going to be asked about four things. لا تزول قدم عبدي يوم القيامة حتى يسأل عن أربع. You ask about four things. عن عمره فيما أفنى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask you there in the grave. The angels will ask you about your whole life in general. وعن شبابه فيما أبلاه. And about your youth particularly. What did he do with it? وعن علمه فيما عمل به. And your knowledge. What did you do with it? Did you keep it for yourself or pass it along? Because Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم told us, خيركم من تعلم العلم وإيه؟ وعلمه. The best of you who been got the knowledge and they pass it along. فذكر إنما أنت مذكر. إن الذكر تنفع الإيه؟ المؤمنين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala glorious Quran told us, and they remind others. For reminder, benefit those believers. Not necessarily the Muslims. The believers. Because every believer is a Muslim, and not necessarily every Muslim is a believer. Remember this. You may be saying, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, and making shirk, and you don't know about this. There are certain things, that's why the scholars explain what is the meaning of Tawheed to us. And they subdivide it into those three categories. Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, Tawheed al-Asma' al-Sifat. If you heard about that, we should know about the Tawheed. Basics of our religion. You see? So we should know these things. You see? So when we get into the grave, first thing immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send the angels who will ask us about your life in general. What did you do with it? Well, I was watching so many video games and so many films and so on and so forth. And we're going to tell him, what we're going to tell Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is even Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab when you see him in the Day of Judgment. What happened to Palestine? 3 million people make us run like rats. It's mind-boggling. It is mind-boggling. Because in the very first 50 years of Islam, Islam is spread from the Sindh in the east to France in the west. What are we doing here? And we're wearing things similar to what we're wearing, torn apart and going bare feet and sandals. And the greatest power in the world, the kings and the emperors of the world, they kneeled to their knees in front of them. Remember Rib' ibn Amir, who went to the people of the Persians, the king of the Persians, and he thought that they are beggars coming for something. Oh, go and give them something to eat, give them some food. No. I'm not coming for this now. Stop that nonsense. I'm going to give them some food and stuff. No. We are coming here, spread the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the truth, and to take the servants of Allah from worshipping the servants of Allah to worshipping Allah, the Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salah Rasulullah. It should be our attitude. If you don't belittle yourself, some of the advice are going to give it to you. You should feel the responsibility. Number one, you should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night that we are being a Muslim. And appreciate the responsibility. So, when we go in the grave and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send to those who ask us your life in general and your youth in particular. Your knowledge and your wealth. Where you got it from and how did you spend it? See? So here, we are living in this dunya here. Every single minute is counted on us. It's counted on us. See the importance of the youth stage itself. It's extremely important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us. That is why we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for being a Muslim. As such, your duties is doubled. Because you are youth number one and the believer number two. Okay? So there is a responsibility on the youth. The hard work, energy, the zeal, effort. Do the utmost you can to educate yourself, to excel in whatever field you are. So we don't beg others for this kind of fields, whatever the field is, computer, engineering, whatever it is, should excel in that, should feel the sense of responsibility. You should feel the izzah. لِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِلْرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Because to Allah is the dignity, the izzah. It's to Allah, Muhammad, to the believers. Hamukallah. You see, this is the izzah. وَلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ. Should feel that you are the youth, the masters of all the other youth. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. And as such, we have made you a middle nation. That is a reference nation. A nation that you lead and the other follow you. You talk and they listen. You sell and they buy. Where is the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? You should feel, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us this. كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس. The best nation revealed for all mankind. Why? Why? We are an ummah of da'wah. We are an ummah of jihad until the end of time. By this, تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون على المنكر. Third, وتؤمنون بالله. صلى رسول الله. So first, because we have duties. Not we are the best nation revealed to mankind just because of the beauty of our eyes or the beauty of our thing. No. No, no. Because we are an ummah that has a message to mankind. A contribution for humanity. And a formula for salvation to offer. No other nation revealed to mankind that they are equipped or commanded to do this, but the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because as we know, all the other ummah, they came for their certain nation, certain people, just the children of Israel, just these people, just these people, but not other people. But Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have sent you but a mercy to the whole people, whole mankind, all people. See? So here we are that ummah. What we are going to do to bring back the glory of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that was? Did we ever ask ourselves this? Why are they put us down and we are the people that established everything that they know so far? If it wasn't for Muslims, if it wasn't for the Arabic numerals 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 as you read it now, which in the dictionary tell you this is Arabic numerals, wouldn't been here. Because it wouldn't be planes and telephones and the computer. Computer is a binary language. Believe in the 0 and the 1. Each letter of the alphabet and the numbers, the numerals, has X number of zeros and X number of ones. What does that mean, 0 and 1? The computer understands 0 and 1? No, it's on and off, on and off, on and off. How many ons, how many offs? That's what the computer understands. And who did give them this? Write 1999, 1998, 2001 in Roman letters theirs. Take a wall from here to the end of this plaza here. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You see? Everything was put there. Every Muslim scholar know, read the Quran with the heart. Mind. But we are worried, we want to finish the Quran in Ramadan. And we finish it in Ramadan as we finish, as we start, as we ended it. We didn't get a thing. When he said that Sayyidina Umar knows Surah Al-Baqarah in 8 years or 10 years, was he incapable of knowing Surah Al-Baqarah in a week like you and I did? Well, I know Surah Al-Baqarah in 3 months. Okay? No. But he applied every ayah. Put it in practice. And then when all this has happened, then yes, now he knew. He knew Surah Al-Baqarah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He saw the caliber of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at what our parents are doing to us and what the parents of the companions of the parents of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was 17 years old. And he was one of the uncles of Rasulullah, because he is from Bani Zuhra. This is the family of his mother, Amina bint Wahb. Amina bint Wahb, ibn Abdu Manaf. So, what did she tell him? Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas became Muslims, and he was the fourth after three Muslims, or the fifth after fourth. And he used to be proud of this. I was one third of the Muslim Ummah for about a week or so. You see? صلى على رسول الله. And his mother, when she knew that he became a Muslim, he followed Muhammad. And he was one that he was very well known in the community that loves his father and mother more than anything else, particularly his mother. So his mother said one day, "Oh, you follow this Muhammad's new religion? لقد صبقت means you left your religion of your forefather and da da da." So what did he tell? What did he tell her? He told him, "Well, that is the religion I choose." And she told him, "Well, I'm going to fast from now on, no food, no drink, and my body's going to decay, I'm going to die, and your conscience is going to kill you that you were the cause of my death, and the people will blame you for my death." And she went on with her fast. Day two, three, get some fasting, became frail. Go to her, "Mom, drink." "No, no way, you have to go back." And then he found her really dying out, drying out. He went to her and said, "Ya umma, wallahi law anna laki alf ruh kharajat alwahida ba'da al-ukhra, ma raja'tu an ee an deen Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." "Oh my mother, as much as I love you, as much as I love the religion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by Allah, if you have 1,000 soul, not only one soul, but 1,000 soul, and each one died one after the other, I won't go back." So when she saw that he is really persistent in his belief, she went back and she started eating and drinking. You see? Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, radiallahu anhu, a youth of that nature. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was preparing for the battle of Badr in the second year of Hijrah in Medina, small little boy, 10 years old, was carrying a sword that's 1.5 his height and walking amongst the lines. He was just hiding from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to see him because they were going to let him out. But he saw him. But who sent him there? Look at our mothers when we go to the army back home and in jihad, they yell and scream. This is the mother that wanted to feel that her boy is a man. She sent him amongst the line where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was inspecting the lines or the his companions before the battle of Badr. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him. So told him, "Ya Rasulullah, I wanted to make jihad with you." 10 years old. Who was that? Zayd ibn Thabit. Who was Zayd ibn Thabit? Salah Rasulullah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told, "No, you are young for this. Just wait. Wait. You'll grow up and you will join us, inshallah." So he went to the, his mother was watching him. See the difference between those mothers and our mothers. So she was watching him. She was weeping and the boy was weeping. But he told her, "Mom, I know how to read and write. And I memorized 17 verses of the Quran. 17 chapters." So she talked to his uncles. His uncle said, "Okay, let us go." The idea here is to be with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by any means. To go and in jihad with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they went to his Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Ya Rasulullah, our son here, you know, 17 surah there as kama unzilat alayk, as it was revealed to you, Ya Rasulullah. Why didn't you listen to him? And he know how to read or write." So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam listened to him and tested him, and actually he was in the sight of Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was bigger than they described him. He told, "Okay, do you know the Syrian and Lugha Syrianiyya?" And it was a common language at the time that many Arabs used to know. So, "Yes, I know this. How about the Ibri, the Ibri language of the Jews?" He said, "No, I don't know this." He said, "Can you learn this?" He said, "I'll learn this." In no time flat, he learned the Ibri. And who became to be Turjuman Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He is the one that Katib al-Wahi, Zayd ibn Thabit al-Ansari,
was the writer of the revelations of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the verse came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he called, Ya Zayd, Uktub Ya Zayd. He was Katib Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was Habr Hadhu al-Ummah. Afqah man arif al-Qur'an. The one who knew the Qur'an, he took it from the tongue of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after it was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam. That is Zayd ibn Thabit, radiallahu anhu wa arda. About companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the greats, yeah? Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas, Habr hadhihi al-Ummah, the sea of knowledge, the scholar of all the scholars of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Abbas, the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was 3 years old when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died. Yet he memorized 1,660 of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was born, his mother brought him to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he took from his saliva and rubbed his gums there. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach him al-hikmah. And he was a sea of knowledge of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If there is an ummah that has only one person to be proud of, as one of the companions that who witnessed Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas, it's enough for the Ummah of Muhammad to remember, enough honor for the Ummah of Muhammad to remember only Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas. Enough honor for the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I have 5 minutes. I need 5 hours to talk about the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jazakallahu khayr. So Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu ardah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died 3 years. He was 3 years old. And he memorized all this. He went into the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, troubled. Go to every scholar, every knowledgeable that he knew. And he used to say, it is for us to come to the knowledge, not the knowledge to come to us. Is to go to the knowledge, you're seeking the knowledge. You see? So always, as yus, come to the masjid, where the knowledge is. Get asked. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. If you do not know, ask those who know. Because ignorance in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unacceptable. Oh Allah, I did not know this. I did not know that I have to have wudu before the salah. Well, that's not excuse. I did not know how to pray this or no excuse in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you do not know, you ask. And this is the time for you to spend memorizing the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, memorizing the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, knowing your deen, to feel good, to feel you are the masters as the teacher amongst his students. You are with respect to the rest of the world as a teacher to his students. You should feel this. At-tafaqquh fi al-deen. You must make fiqh in the deen, knowing your deen. Man arad Allah bihi khayran yufaqihu fi al-deen. Who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for him, he make him faqih in the deen, deep in the religion. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we beg to make us all faqih in the deen, to seek the knowledge. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas had the first university ever in the world at one teacher. That was him. Yeah. One day, the whole area around there was blocked with people. Entered to him and he told him what is happening. So I told him, you go outside, tell him who wants to know about the words of the Quran, let them in. So masses of people get in, ask, and then they go. Now ask, those who want the meanings of the Quran, ayat in the Quran, let them in. Masses comes in, and then they leave. Who wants to know al-halal wal-haram in the Quran? Masses gets in.
then they come out.
You see, knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to him. You see, was a youth, 3 years old, when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu arda, who first was a servant, a shepherd for Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt, one of the great masters of Quraysh. One day he was there with his sheep and so on, taking care, he's a shepherd. And he saw two people. And they were severely, exhausted, completely exhausted. And they asked him, as soon as they arrived him to there, can you give us some of the sheep here, kill some or something like that to quench our thirst? He said, no, this is not mine, it doesn't belong to me. He was even honest before he was Muslim. خيرهم في الجاهلية خيرهم في الإسلام إذا فقهوا أو فقهوا. That's what Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was saying. That the best of them in the jahiliya, time of ignorance, they became the best of the companions after they became Muslims. So he was honest. He said, no, this doesn't belong to me. So one of the two old people asked him, okay, do you have a sheep, a young one, that is not touched by a male sheep? He told him, this is one. So he got a little one. So he took the rudder of it, where the milk comes from, and rubbed it and said Bismillah ar-Rahim and some ayat and so on and so forth. And Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he was looking there very surprised, said to himself, since when the sheep that doesn't have a mare build up milk in its rudder? Yes, inshallah. Oh, I mean, inshallah. Do you want to hear this story? I'm going to finish, don't worry, inshallah. Salah Rasulillah. I had Sheikh Sayyid Sabiq, who had fiqh sunnah. I was in Egypt and I attended one of his last lectures before he passed away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless his soul. All of you know about fiqh sunnah. And in Egypt, as in Pakistan and the Muslim countries, many mosques. So you hear the adhan here, adhan here, adhan here. So the people were in the, and of course he was very frail. He was coming over 90, and his sight was very weak because of diabetes and so on. A very frail man. So the people start telling him, adhan, adhan. Of course he ignored all of this calls here. I'm not going to ignore you, but inshallah, I'm going to listen to you. So he ignored. He said, you see, this is what we have to know, our religion. If you have something that urgent and you have to go, fine, you can pray Isha and go. Supposedly it's happening. It's not going to happen inshallah now, so you don't hate me. But this is happening. All the Adam in the mosque there, they called for their prayer, prayed Isha, and people were walking out. Actually, from other masajid, they found Sheikh Sayyid Sadiq. So they come in to listen to his lecture. So it is not really a must. Actually, it is preferred to delay the Isha a little bit. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said to himself, since when rubbing these things here, bring milk, a sheep that doesn't have a male, give me milk. All of a sudden he found that the rudder is filling with milk. And he was astonished. And then the other man there went to find a stone there with a hole in it, kind of cavity. He went there and took and he drank and he gave him to drink and gave the other person to drink. Then he came to that good man that he read some things with the sheep and start bringing milk. Told him, can you teach me some of this? It's not some magic or something. Can you teach me some of this? So he said, إِنَّكَ وَلَدٌ مُعَلَّمٌ. You will be a teacher. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud became a Muslim. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, there isn't a verse, not a chapter, not a surah, a verse in the Quran, but I know where it was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when it was revealed, the cause of the revelation. And if I know anyone that he knew something about the Quran that I do not know, and I can reach him on some means of transportation, I would go to him. That's Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. He was when he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about 15, 17. These are the people that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam built. So we as youth, our hope that we left behind youth like you, that he can take Islam to the other far dimensions, start working in da'wah, and you know the ways of da'wah. When you go to da'wah to non-Muslims, you don't go necessarily wearing this, having very big beard, and wearing these things here. They're gonna, you're going to scare them. Are we going to, if we're going to Muslim, are we going to be like this? No. When Sayyidina Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Mu'adh ibn Jabal was 13 years old when Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent him to Yemen to teach the people the religion of Islam, the Quran and the Hadith and the Seerah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was 13 years old. Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Who's the youngest of you here? Imagine, ask a 13 years old, bring a 20 years old and ask him to read for you two surahs. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Where are we? That is why they made the whole world subservient to them. The old people spread Islam, the beauty of Islam, the knowledge. They sought knowledge. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أعلم الناس, the most knowledgeable of all the people of what is haram and what is halal, Mu'adh ibn Jabal. I'm waiting to say something. What are you going to say? You see, we have Islamic schools, we have teachers and this and that. Brother, they start with telling our future generation of Islam, when he sneezes, what he should say. The Christians say, bless you. You say, Alhamdulillah. So you tell him what? What do you tell him? Arhamukallah. So why you answer him back? In every single letter of this, you are getting rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yahdikumullah wa yuslih balakum. May Allah guide you and make your thoughts comfortable and serene. Sama' Rasulullah. These are the youth. How old is my son? 14. Imagine Mu'adh ibn Jabal was younger year one than him. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the most knowledgeable of what's halal and what's haram of my ummah is Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why they were the masters of the world, not for 200 years as the Americans are now for the last 50 years. Not for 500 years or 600 years or 1,000 years or 2,000 years or 3,000 years or 4,000 years or 5,000 years. They were until the end of time. They will be and will remember them. Muslims' civilization lasted over 1,000 years. Louis, the king of France, Louis the 14th, used to write the Muslim caliph in Istanbul. The Muslim caliph in Istanbul. The king of France is the 14th. Used to write to him a letter for some, he needs you something. He's saying, this is from your obedient servant who seek your satisfaction and the forgiveness. The king of France used to write to the Muslim caliphs. What are we doing? What are we doing to our generations? Are we sending our students, our young people, to the masjid to know? Before, they used to go, even the people after the companions of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they used to come and they take their Sunday to give it to a scholar. Here is the pupil of my eye. Take care of him. And he go after about 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, when he find his son coming back full of knowledge, not all full of Hollywood nonsense. No. Because you remember that you are responsible for every single minute of your life. You will be questioned. What did you do with your life as a whole? What did you do with your youth? That strong time, strength time. We must work. It's not only did you get ilm. Ilm is necessary to make the da'wah. من عمل بغير علم كان ما يفسد أكثر مما إيه يصلح. Whosoever do anything without knowledge, particularly in the field of da'wah, what you are going to cause, you are going to cause harm more than you are going to benefit. So the knowledge, this is the time. You have to excel in school, excel in engineering, excel in mathematics, excel in medicine, excel in law. So we don't have to bring somebody from outside there to do this. Because, I mean, Ibn Avicenna, the son of Sinai, he knew the whole Quran by heart at the age of 9 years old. Avicenna, they call him Avicenna because they don't want to give him the honor of being an Arab. Ibn Sina, that's his name. He, when he died at 59 years old, he left 59 references to mankind. In so many different facets of knowledge, from astronomy, medicine, mathematics. Subhanallah, what's philosophy has to do with mathematics? But because Quran gives us a passion to investigate in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ بَدَأَ الْخَلْقِ ثُمَّ اللَّهُ يُنْشِئُ النَّشْأَةَ الْآخِرَةِ. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this in the Quran, the passion to know. So that's why when they know the Quran by heart, reading it the way it's supposed to be read, that gives them a passion to know the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they start investigating in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they excelled. Avicenna, they call it Avicenna. Ibn Sina, 7 volumes in anatomy. Until today, they're being studied in the major medical schools anywhere in the world. You're tired. You want to pray, Aish? Because there's a film coming on, right? So my advice to you, as an older brother of yours, is just to try to excel. Size every minute that you have to be good, because you are very important to Islam. Extremely important to Islam. Each one of you should put in his mind that the whole Muslim ummah depend on him. Don't waste time. Excel in the sport, excel in the sport. Do good in the sport. Those who are good in the sport, they are good in the school as well. So study hard. Get the knowledge. Come to the masjid. Memorize Quran. Remember the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Have confidence in yourself. Know that you have dignity. You are the teacher of the world, despite what they think of you. Distasteful it may be to those unbelievers who reject. You are the master among all humanity, as a master, as a teacher among his students, old and young. So, know the history of the companions, the life, biography of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To know that Islam established on the shoulder of those, the youth. That's what we need you. I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us knowledge, insha'Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, bless your families, and give us all the knowledge to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with